You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
That's yesterday's news. Jimmy the Groundhog says early spring. That's what he said.
90.7 WMTX. John Gordy in the morning.
6 minutes past the hour. It's going to be a little foggy out there this morning, but that won't last. And then we'll just be left with clouds and highs in the mid to upper 30s today.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
I can deal with that.
Can you?
But I can't deal with DEI hires. Well, I just can't do it. I'm not accepting this. The Trump administration announced Tuesday that it is offering buyouts to almost all federal workers who opt to leave their jobs by this coming week. This week, I believe, the move is unprecedented and illegal.
Can't really do that.
But
can
there's
you?
Still no, they can't really do that. They're government employees. Anyway, you can't do this. But is anybody stepping up to stop this, because it's illegal to do this? This is what Elon did, right?
Yeah.
At X, at Twitter when he came in.
Offer buyouts?
This is the same buyout plan program.
Yeah, what about their retirement funds? What about the government service employees that have been there for decades?
Yeah, they haven't answered that.
No.
But I found a great source for all of this stuff. Sometimes the news in the U.S. is not the best. And I accidentally stumbled on France 24. It's a TV network, and they covered this story. Let's listen to France. This is cut 10. Let's listen.
If you think back to last week, one of the executive orders that Donald Trump signed was ordering everybody from the federal workforce to come back to the government. A lot of them still working from home or remotely after COVID. Well, that then would be the end of remote working. And Donald Trump and his administration sent an email to nearly all of the 2 million federal workers and offered them to take an 8-month severance package if they didn't come back to the office, if they didn't want to come back to the office. Well, now, certain employees of the government did not receive this offer. That includes postal workers, members of the military, immigration officials, and some national security workers as well. These people were told to reply to the email with the word resign, which echoes something similar that was sent out to Twitter employees in 2022 by Elon Musk. Now, Trump expects 10% of these people, these 2 million people, to accept this, and says that the buyouts could save the government $100 billion. And also, more tellingly, Stephen Miller, who's the White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Policy, said that the government's 2 million workers were, quote, overwhelmingly left of center, adding that it was, quote, essential for Trump to get a control of the government. Now, when you couple that with the fact that Trump has said that he wants to trim the fat from the government and also implemented a 90-day freeze on federal hiring, some of Donald Trump's critics are saying that he's doing this in order to reform the government in his own image. And one of the things that he could use to do that comes from the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative think tank here in Washington. You might know them from their controversial Project 2025 that was meant to be a blueprint that Donald Trump could use to overhaul the U.S. government. Well, they did collect a database of conservative workers that Donald Trump could potentially dip into if the hiring freeze is lifted in 90 days. Yeah. And he does indeed continue to replace those workers who have taken this severance package option.
That's right. So it may not be the end of employment in the federal government. It just may mean a switchover to loyalists being put in place of the hardworking government employees that are there now being offered buyout packages. Mm-hmm. And who take it?
He wants the loyalists in place instead of the what they're calling the bureaucrats, and, that have been there for decades and know how to do their jobs.
For some reason, loyalists are better employees.
Mm.
Right?
Sure.
I don't know.
they might They might have a little chip on their shoulder. I don't know. It's a good question.
But they have a list. I know that they did put a list together. They asked for people to sign up to work for the federal government under Trump. And I was wondering whatever happened to that, and that is what they might be using to replace the government workers, the number of government workers that they want to purge, and they'll just replace them. So it won't really save anybody any money. It'll just replace loyalists. That's all. I don't know. You know, this is...
Replace them with loyalists.
With loyalists. Yeah. But here's the thing about this whole thing, and this was going to be the big story today. We'll do it tomorrow.
Okay.
But the whole Project 2025 is based on, see, this. There's a plan out there by philosophers and individual bloggers on the right who have put together a plan to destroy the republic as we know it.
Yeah.
Now, we had this story when we filled in for Maggie Dawn, and I expanded it. And I have a number of cuts and the whole story about it, how government is this government is meant to replace the republic that we have in place now in our country since the founding. They want to completely shake it up, take it out, and whatever remains will be part of the new administration, and it'll be based on a dictator.
It's going to be a bumpy ride. That's what Trump says.
Yes, yeah. it'll be a bumpy ride. There may be some pain. Should we get to that? You have
the tariffs?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it's, all these tariffs are going into effect. And, you know, a lot of people thought this was going to be a bluff, especially all the financial analysts. Top analysts from the biggest banks on Wall Street, according to CNN, said it was highly unlikely that this was actually going to happen. Well, guess what? It's happening.
It's happening.
Stocks were trading like it wouldn't happen. Some companies built contingency plans, but they weren't exactly ready for making any changes. But the tariffs are coming. Let's hear what Donald Trump said over the weekend about these tariffs going into place.
Canada's been very tough on oil, on energy. They don't allow our farm products in, essentially. They don't allow a lot of things in, and we allow everything to come in. It's been a one-way street. Canada's been very abusive of the United States for many years. We may have short-term a little pain, and people understand that. But long-term, the United States has been ripped off by virtually every country in the world. We have deficits with almost every country. Not every country, but almost. And I'm also speaking with Mexico tomorrow morning. And I don't expect anything very dramatic. We put tariffs on. They owe us a lot of money, and I'm sure they're going to pay. This is retaliatory to a certain extent. Millions of people flowed into our country through Mexico and Canada, and we're not going to allow that. And we subsidize Canada by the tune of about $200 billion a year. And for what? What do we get out of it? We don't get anything out of it. I love the people of Canada. I disagree with the leadership of Canada.
Loves the people.
Yeah, he loves the people. You can tell.
Now, he also sent a message out on Truth Social saying, we don't need anything they have. We have unlimited energy. We should make our own cars. And we have more lumber than we could ever use. Really? Don't you remember a couple of years ago?
Yeah, that was a big problem.
That was a few years ago.
It was a big problem.
Couldn't get any lumber from Canada.
Homes were almost impossible to build at that point because the material was so expensive.
Now, Canada, on the other hand, Trudeau, is going to put tariffs on the U.S.
On products that come out of the southern states. I love that part of it.
Beer and wine.
Yeah.
Fruits and vegetables, clothing, cars, perfume. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
So those are going to go into effect, right? So there we have a trade war. Boom.
There's a tremendous
amount of... Stocks are starting to go down, by the way.
The Trump resentment is truly going to get in the way. He did quote on Truth Social, he posted this, in all caps, by the way.
Yeah.
Will there be some pain? Yes. Maybe. And maybe not.
Maybe.
But we will make America great again, and it will all be worth the price that must be paid. So, honest to God, MAGAs are going to fall behind on the. I mean, they're going to fall for this because it will make America great.
No pain, no gain.
There you go. Isn't it crazy if you frame it that way for the MAGAs? They'll fall in line. They they love this. Yeah, maybe it will be painful. You know, maybe we will be paying more, but it's unfair.
Of course it's
They've been unfair to us, and damn it, we're going to raise the prices on all our products, and we're going to feel better for it.
Okay.
I, if they fall for this, my head will explode.
Mitch McConnell had a comment about it as well, and I don't have that, but we can find it. Yeah. But he said, you know, this is just, it's a big mistake to get into a trade war with our allies.
With our allies.
These are our allies.
Our neighbors, our border.
These are our buddies.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Oh, God. Now, remember, the tariffs are being used to fund Trump's tax cuts to the ultra-rich and big corporations. And that puts working families on the hook to pay the balance, to fill in that gap.
Yeah.
The average household would lose the equivalent, and the economists have said this, the equivalent of $1,170 in income from the taxes that'll be paid because of the tariffs, all going to fill that budget gap left after the tax cuts are put in place, taken out. The new DNC chair, Ken Martin, said this. Here's the thing. Trump isn't going to make corporate billionaires pay for these tariffs. Working families and small businesses will. He's using American workers as pawns in his petty political games. If a president promised that they'd help my family get by, and then they did this, I'd be really pissed off. So you should be pissed off.
Who and said this?
That's the new DNC chair, Ken Martin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so, good for him for speaking up right away.
We have a call. Let's go to the phones here. It's Dick.
Yep.
Dick, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dick.
Well, you know, one thing I have noticed over the years is that how they've morphed as a party totally away from their hero, which was Ronald Reagan.
Right.
One of the last things he said leaving office was we were contemplating this type of thing with Canada at the time. And he was calling these people political demagogues. But another observation, too, over the weekend, I was real scared at the beginning of this, the role that Vance was going to take because he's much younger.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's been relegated to the status of Nixon under Eisenhower. Do you see what he's up to today?
No.
What is it?
He's finally going to go in the town in Ohio that had that horrible train crash with the spillage.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was the senator from that state, never bothered to get there, but that's where he's going today. Isn't that something?
Well, we'll keep an eye on that.
That's really big.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Dick, thank you for that.
After it happens.
We're up against the clock here. Dick, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. We will be back with much more on John and Gordy in the morning. And in about 10 minutes, we'll talk to Amy Horak from the Horticultural Report. That's what it is. It's the Cultural Horticultural.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What's new with the weather? What's new? What's with the temperature now? What's the high?
What's the low?
Wow.
What's the low?
High-tech stuff, 92.7 WMDX. Let's talk weather.
Let's talk weather with Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Brittany, how are you guys?
Has a big smile on her face because they're getting snow in Wausau area, right? And up north?
Yes.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Oh, we have missed like every single event, basically. So this is probably the most snow we've seen accumulate so far this season, and we've only got 3 inches, and we're excited about
it. But it's accumulating.
Right.
So it's still
coming
snowing
down.
And still coming down.
Yeah. Yes. Well, what do you expect it'll top out at? You've got 3 inches so far.
Probably 5 inches.
About 5 inches?
Probably five.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we just have fog and drizzle this morning, a little mist out there. It's kind of spooky.
Yeah, why don't you roll up a snowball and send it to us? Because we can't remember what snow looks like anymore.
Right.
You won't see it through the fog. It'll just smack you right in the face then.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So what can we expect this week? Weather-wise,
You know, a couple of shots of snow potentially, and kind of an up and down roller coaster. So today we're looking at the mild temperatures. We've got the fog, the mist, the dreary skies. By tomorrow, we'll see some sunshine. It'll be much cooler, though, into the mid-20s, with those clouds increasing as the next system heads our way. That one wants to hit on Wednesday, and it's kind of a bigger one. So what it wants to do is lift snow through Madison first and then flip it over to freezing rain and then potentially snow as it exits again. So a messy winter storm for Wednesday. But accumulations of snow-wise right now look very, very light, probably an inch or two. But more ice accumulations, which look a little messy there as those temperatures flirt with the freezing mark on Wednesday. But then we get a little break Thursday, Friday, before another system wants to hit on Saturday. So just a couple of shots there, Wednesday and Saturday.
Mm, very good. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll be prepared for that.
Yeah, we'll.
And, you enjoy we'll the prepare. Snow today. Is it a heavy, wet snow? Are you going to be able to make a
Is it
snowman?
Warm? Kind of warm up there?
Yeah.
It is kind of warm up here. Usually, like over the weekend, we got a light, fluffy kind of snow where it wasn't even sticking to the street. It's beautiful because you can still drive in it.
Yeah.
This one causes problems. So up north, we're definitely seeing a little bit of that. But you guys excited about Jimmy's forecast from Groundhog's Day?
Yes. Yeah, he said early spring around here.
Which started in
Is that what you're,
December. It started in December.
Do you agree with the groundhog?
I'm going to go with Phil off in...
Really? You think it's going to be a longer winter, huh?
And I do. I think we've got some big storms probably like sitting on the back doorstep about to surprise us. That's what my feeling might be.
Okay.
Okay. Well.
And I ripped into Phil last hour. So.
That's fine. That's
All
fine.
All right. Well, we disagree. All right.
Thank you, Brittany.
Jimmy's the man. All right. Have a good one.
Okay.
You bet.
Take care.
Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Check them out on Madison's east side or west side, or go online at verlo.com.
All right. Fox and Friends promoted Caroline Leavitt's false claim that the U.S. was sending $50 million worth of condoms to Gaza. You would just stop a moment and think about saying that, and you'd... Obviously,
I wonder how many condoms that works out to. $50 million worth?
That is, yes, quite the box.
How many planes full of condoms did they have to send over there?
Well, what's this all about? Why would they do in the first place? Tell us more.
We've got France 24, the television network, to explain this.
This is your new favorite network. Huh?
Yes,
France 24.
They tell the truth. You know, they just get to the facts, tell the truth. I'm for that.
You dialing this in on the shortwave?
No,
TV or what?
Yeah, shortwave TV. Let's go to cut 7. Let's play that.
Listen to what she found.
DOGE and OMB also found that there was about to be $50 million taxpayer dollars that went out the door to fund condoms in Gaza. That is a preposterous waste of taxpayer money.
$50 million being sent to Gaza to buy condoms for Hamas. $50 million. And you know what's happened to them?
What?
They've used them as a method of making bombs. How about that?
So Donald Trump doubles down on the claims first made by his White House press house secretary, further adding that Hamas used these condoms as a method of making bombs. So how about that?
What have you found regarding these claims?
Former Biden employees that were involved in Israeli and Palestinian affairs, such as Andrew Miller, told the Times of Israel he describes the White House's recent statements as outlandish. Figures from the American International Humanitarian Organization, known as USAID, show us that the numbers shared by the Trump administration are greatly exaggerated based on the expenses on this subject that were made in previous years. The latest report here from 2023, an overview of contraceptive and condom shipments from the U.S. shows that 2023, the global amount for sending condoms that is shown here in red, did not even exceed $10 million annually since 2017.
Yeah.
So the amount of aid for condoms represented only 8.5 million to be exact, according to this data. None that went to the Middle East, and therefore none that went to Gaza, according to this official data. Hensley, we clearly determined that the claims were fake.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow. See, that's why I like this network. You know, just point blank.
Go right to the facts.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Of course, you know, I'm still worried about condoms being used for bombs.
That,
Can you imagine actually coming up with that lie? This is just a stream of lies. Making up the lie in the first place, $50 million for condoms going to Gaza, that's enough right there. But then adding on to it that they're making bombs out of condoms.
Sam, you're the MacGyver here. How would you do that?
Man, I don't know. But I think I mentioned it to you guys off air a little bit ago. When the Beatles were in Germany, they got deported for lighting a condom on fire.
Yeah,
they used it as a light in their hotel room because the lights were turned off for some reason. But
it wasn't a hotel room. It was in the back of the theater. They had a little room in back of the movie theater next door or something.
Well, they got framed for arson, though, and kicked out of the country. So apparently they are flammable. Maybe you could make a bomb out of a bunch of condoms. Who knows?
I never heard this story before.
Yeah.
You know all about it. Oh, it's the back room of this. Well, okay. Now, had that story been more popular, do you think we would have had a lot of fires, condom fires?
I don't know. In
the 60s?
I mean, that would have been awful. They said it barely caught on fire. I mean, the story was it just kind of fizzled out right away. So,
yeah.
I mean, it didn't do any damage.
Yeah,
it was just an excuse to kick him out of the country. Plus, George Harrison was underage at the time.
That was the real reason.
Hey, right around the corner, we're going to talk to Amy Horak with the Horticultural Report.
You got it.
I got it. I mean, you'll get it next, right here on 92.7 WMDX. Good morning.
We'll be right back to the action right after this message.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
Quite magical, 92.7 WMDX.
Sam, what is this music about? What are you doing?
This is Plantasia. It was off an album of music that was created to play to your plants.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm not quite sure I'm a big fan of plant music.
It grows on you. I'll be here all week.
Oh, boy.
David J. Frank is bringing us this segment. They are your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource, celebrating 65 years in business. They take care of lawns. They do flower care. They do trimming. They do it all. They do shaping, pruning. David J. Frank is the largest landscape contractor in southeast Wisconsin. They have a branch in Madison, also Milwaukee, Kenosha. You can go to davidjfrank.com. for more information. And this morning we're welcoming in Amy Horak. Amy, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me today, guys.
You're from David J. Frank's, right?
Yep.
Yeah. How long have you worked there?
I've worked there since this past July, so we're going on 7 months right now.
Okay. So tell us, what should people be doing if they're, I know you do commercial landscaping and horticultural work, but also residential, right?
Yeah.
So people like John, whose lawn is all ripped up from his crazy dog, and it's just a little patch of mud now, what are you supposed to do about that?
Yeah.
What can you do?
That lack of snow, the ground was frozen, but the grass is very fragile on top of that frozen ground, so I wore off the grass.
There's probably not a whole lot you can do this time of year, though, is there?
So some things you could do to help prevent like turf damage due to the lack of snow.
Mm-hmm.
Doing things like putting down a winter mulch or even putting down like straw or hay. Sometimes when you see new construction sites and they don't have the grass seeded before winter, they'll put down those like straw mats to just kind of help hold the soil in place. So that way it just prevents erosion, but trying to stay off of it as much as you can, especially when it is super wet and muddy, is going to be your best option just to minimize damage. The thing too with this lack of snow right now is that because the snow provides like an insulative layer to the ground, it doesn't get that. So with these really cold temperature swings, it allows the soil to actually freeze deeper. Yeah. Which can cause a lot of root damage to either your turf or any types of landscape ornamental plants because the roots can't really handle such high temperature swings compared to like the upper portions of the plant. So that lack of insulation is just going to lead to more turf damage. So
well, that's not good news to me. Yeah, I was hoping that I just, you know, wore off the surface of the grass and I have those roots in there, you know, and that'll be okay. No, not okay, because that ground is frozen and maybe even damaged the roots. So
yeah, and then with it thawing and then freezing and thawing and freezing, it kind of makes the plants confused, to say. So they think, oh, it's nice and warming up, maybe I can start growing, and all of a sudden that cold snap starts, so any of that new growth is instantly killed off. And all the energy that the plant has stored away to use for the spring, it's starting to like waste any of that energy reserve, so it gets a lot harder to help it come back in the spring full force.
So what else are you supposed to do this time of year as far as any outdoor plants that you might have in your garden? Or, you know, I mean, it's kind of tricky this year because we really haven't had a really tough winter, so it almost feels like spring some days, and people want to,
the,
you know,
50
get
degrees
out there
and rain is definitely kind of throwing me for a loop, that's for sure.
But what do you do to prune plants? Or
pruning is like, you know, we're always afraid to prune. We don't know where to go, how far down to prune,
right? So wintertime is actually your ideal time to prune, mostly like your deciduous trees and shrubs, so anything that's going to lose and drop its leaves in the fall. Wintertime, since it is cold, the plants generally go dormant this time of year, so you don't have as much risk for disease or insects, since most of those are going to be dormant with the cold weather as well. But that being said, you'd want to kind of remove anything that's going to be dead or diseased or a weakened branch. So if you find those on your trees, you want to get rid of those first. When you are pruning, you want to make sure that you don't, like certain branches, if they're coming into the tree to the main trunk, you don't want to cut them flush with the trunk. You want to leave a little bit of a stump or a little stub coming off. That way it can properly heal. You want to maybe look for any potential insect problems. Since there are no leaves on the trees, it's a lot easier to see into the canopy, see where there might be crisscrossing branches, because the crisscrossing branches, they're going to cause pressure points on each other and just be another weak spot that'll grow.
Yeah.
So keeping those types of things in mind.
Well, I have some raspberry bushes, you know, and they have these large stalks that come out.
Yeah.
Now, you can cut those, right?
Yep. So usually for like some rejuvenation pruning is what they call it, you can remove up to about a third of the plant material. And that's what you'll want to do. So you'll want to get the thicker, woodier stalks and remove those to kind of, and remove them all the way down to the ground, or maybe like the first bud or node that you see. That way it kind of opens up the plant. It helps add more airflow too, because that'll help prevent like fungal diseases during the springtime. If you just get better aeration through the canopy.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking with Amy Horak. She's a horticulturalist and she's working for David J. Frank. If you want to call us or text us with a question, 608-879-8255, or just get a hold of us on the Civic Media app. Now, what about ordering bulbs and whatever you need for the coming spring? It's not that far off, according to the groundhog here. Jimmy says 6 weeks early spring.
Yeah, Jimmy said it's coming early, and Puxatawny Phil said we're getting late.
Yeah, mixed review, mixed messages.
I think Jimmy's more accurate compared to Puxatawny, but he's Puxatawny's got a longer history.
Well, plus he's local. Jimmy, you know, you got to go with your local groundhog.
Our local animal forecaster. We had a question here from Kurt. Can I put on grass seed now because the lawn is exposed?
I would wait. Depending on the grass seed you get, sometimes the packaging will say what temperature tolerances it has. I wouldn't want to plant it this early just because we're going to get another cold snap. So it'll get cold, it'll get warm. If it gets too wet, you can kind of drown out those seeds and they might just get washed away.
Right.
So unless you put down like a straw blanket to kind of hold those seeds in place and add a little bit more insulation and temperature barrier, it could be helpful, but I wouldn't waste my grass seed just quite
yet. All right.
Advice. And what about ordering things for springtime? Is now the time to order up?
Yeah, now is the time. I might upset some nurseries or something at this point, but the earlier you order, the better chance you are to get what you actually want. I used to work for a gardening store, and if we ordered just maybe a week or two too late, it'd be, all those seeds are gone, sold out. Oh. So you definitely got to get ahead of the game in that aspect. Mm-hmm. And then there are certain things, like if you are an avid vegetable gardener, there are certain varieties of tomatoes or peppers that they like really warm temperatures to actually germinate properly. So you might need to get them a heating mat, make sure they're in a warm spot of the house. But also they can take 6 to 8 weeks to actually fully go from germination to seedling to ready to go outdoors. So you want to have enough time to make sure they're big enough and strong enough to go out in the garden, while also having time to acclimate them to the outdoors. So like you have them inside, you take them out on a nice day, let them have real sun, some real wind, experience the outside, bring them back in before it gets too dark or too cold outdoors, and then kind of keep working them up to that.
I purchase plants, you know, at the store, but, you know, sometimes, they're very young and they take all this time to develop.
Yep.
And I know I've had plants that just start looking like they're going to, maybe bear some peppers or something, and it's just at the end of fall, and it's not the best time to do it, and the plant dies, so.
Right. I mean, sometimes, too, peppers, I've had people in the past that if they like to have peppers and tomatoes into the fall, having them be potted up, that way you could actually bring them inside before it gets too cold and let them finish out in your home, either with like some grow lights or just having them in a really sunny southern facing window.
Okay.
All right, got a let's see. All right,
what does it cost to have your lawn rolled?
Yes. Got a question from somebody here.
Let's see. Lawn rolled. Are we talking like aeration of the lawn? Like core aeration?
I think they've got a lumpy lawn. They just want to get one of those big rolling machines.
Really?
Not a machine. It's a
steamroller?
Yeah.
You don't want to compact the soil too
much.
You wouldn't think so. Not this time of year.
I wouldn't want to compact it. You'd want to regrade it. So getting some sort of sand or soil to refill in the low spots.
They said to smooth the surface. To smooth the surface.
Yeah,
is there something like that?
Yeah, it would be more like grading, so adding some more soil, some sand to get it more level and even. I wouldn't really want to put a roller on it. I know we would do like something very minimal, but the more you compact the soil, the harder it becomes. Plus, if you're going over trees or anything, you're going to damage their roots.
If you put that soil on, it would go over the grass that's currently there, or would this be like starting fresh, you know, just put the ground on, and then seed it and cover it?
Some people will go over the existing grass, but otherwise, if you want, you can definitely remove the turf and then refill the soil and then resod or reseed.
But you don't have to remove the turf
in order to
do this. No. Okay, just add soil, seed, and start all over again, right?
Yeah.
Over what you have.
Yeah.
All right.
How about flower gardens? Anything people can be doing this time of year for just their flower gardens?
Besides just getting your plants ordered and maybe planting them too, if you're like to really get into landscaping, you can kind of figure out how you want to stage your flowers, have nice short ones in the front, really tall ones in the back, and kind of make like a cascading effect.
Gordy's done that a lot.
Yeah, I do. Gardening. No, I actually have no lawn at all. So David J. Frank, been in business 65 years.
Yeah.
Tell us about this company and some of the special things that they do.
What kind of landscaping do they do?
I note in some of your background material that they had a lot to do with the Hilldale area, right?
Yeah. So for like Madison area, the Hilldale is one of our bigger places that we take care of. They really like to do like every season a color install and change out, and we have a lot of fun doing that. The person that's in charge of all that, she does a really great job of coming up with designs and plant options. We do everything from like landscape maintenance, so that would be like your general mowing, spring and fall cleanup, trimming and shaping of plants or putting in new plants. We have an irrigation team. So if you have irrigation on your property, whether it's commercial or residential, we can come out, make sure everything's working properly, start it up and shut it down throughout the season.
I know that, you know, there are a lot of business people listening to the show right now, and they're probably wondering about all the salt on the sidewalks around there, but they also have plants and bushes, and that affects those plants.
Yep. So some things that can help, gypsum, a type of soil amendment, you can put that down in the soil along the edges where, you know, the sidewalk or the road comes up to your property. Mm-hmm. And that's going to help with some of that salinity issues and soil erosion as well that comes from oversalting. Maybe getting into using more like a sand and salt mixture. Mm-hmm. Our company, we also do snow removal services, and we are ISO certified, so we can do brine applications. I don't know if you guys have seen brine trucks around the city.
Sure. Right.
Some people are like, why are they putting water down? I'm like, it's salt water. It's actually going to help us out a lot more and not be as detrimental to the environment and the lakes and everything.
Yeah. Now, Amy, we just have a minute left, but I noticed one thing that David J. Frank is known for is they're the go-to company for green roofs.
Yeah.
Right? Tell me about that. Water conservation and sustainability.
Yes, we've done a lot of green roof spaces in Madison along with the Milwaukee area. I believe we are in the process of getting a new building at the headquarters in Germantown, and they are planning to do the largest green roof in the state.
And what is
that?
What is a green roof?
So a green roof is a way to help with like environmental heat on the city and on the building. So it's specially designed so that there's drainage from the top of the building that runs all the way through. The green roof is supposed to help absorb heat while also making things cooler, and then it's adding more green spaces because we're kind of smack in the middle of a concrete jungle.
Yeah.
So adding more natural areas that are going to help with rainwater because we're also planted up in the middle of a floodplain for Madison. Mm. So trying to mitigate the flooding is another thing.
Well, I mean, Katie, we've run out of time.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us. We're going to have you back again.
Yep.
For another report next month.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
From davidjfrank.com, that's Amy Horak. We'll be back with Leftovers next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Eating leftovers.
Leftovers? Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
He ate those leftovers!
Funeral leftovers.
Leftovers. Enjoy.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy. And wow, that was fun. You know, I got some tips here. So I'm a little worried about the lawn. It's just...
Well, you know, it's going to get muddy, right? I mean, you can't do anything about
that. My house, my property is on top of an old quarry in Middleton.
Yeah.
So I would assume there's very little ground cover, actual dirt. It's mostly limestone.
Think it's going to wash all away? I'm thinking sitting on a rock?
You know, and I also think, well, the easiest thing to do is just put sod down.
Right?
Well, I would assume that would be a huge job and certainly not worth it at this point.
That would seem to be the case.
And we got a post from Joe. You know, earlier we were talking about Elon being in the Treasury Department now.
Even though he has no business being there
The
at
guy
all.
In charge of the Treasury quit. Because he didn't want to give permission to anybody else to snoop around our treasury records. But
he wouldn't let
him
do it.
Social Security checks, whole bunch of stuff comes out of the treasury. We get paid that way. And I'm saying this is a really bad idea, just letting people in there.
Yes.
Elon is no special person.
No.
You know?
He's not an official.
He knows tech, and the thing is, what will he do? How will he manipulate information coming from there?
Steal the data.
Now, you would think he could in some way, shape, or form. Now, they have blocked him from having access to the computers to make any kind of changes.
Mm-hmm.
So they can only look at. It's a read-only type of situation for these individuals. Okay. And Joe mentioned this. Wired Magazine has identified some of the young bros who are helping Elon Musk access the entire federal payment system.
Yeah.
This is nuts, isn't it?
It is.
Ed Cordesine is a 19-year-old. He deleted his account on, LinkedIn.
Okay.
and his username was Big Balls, and
okay.
And his experience, by the way, was camp counselor. You've been a camp counselor, haven't you,
hey,
Sam?
Hey, that's the only job you ever need, right?
That's it looks great on a resume at this point, right? And he's 19-year-old college, no college education, never hired by the government, no security clearances, who now has access to, with all these other individuals, these interns supposedly, having access to federal payment systems.
Yeah.
You know, you can't feel real safe with that. Thank you, Joe, for that. She tried to get through. She said she had some kind of phone problem. So
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's up with that because we've taken a couple calls here today. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's worrisome, isn't it? I mean, to think that could be happening. We don't really know what's happening.
We don't know.
That's the problem. They don't want to let us know.
Unbelievable stuff. Yeah. And they're getting away with it. The MAGAs are saying, well, you know, that's sure. The way it is. We voted for this.
Yep.
They don't really care about who's meddling in government affairs.
Yeah. Social Security.
Opening up the records to strangers. Alon's a stranger. Folks, do you believe this guy? He's a lunatic. God. Oh, he's an arrogant jerk that is... bought all these other companies, and he makes it seem like he's the guy who came up with the ideas of, you know, Tesla and whatever else, you know, technology he's purchased.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He has unlimited funds and apparently carte blanche as far as going into government offices now.
And but speaking,
good for people for standing up, you know, to him and saying, no, you can't look at these files.
So now that we're not seeing the egg prices come down. All right. We haven't seen anything really happen yet, but they're very satisfied. The mega contingent out there that voted for him, they're very satisfied. And like my brothers who I think voted for Trump, they're saying, wait and see. Well, I wonder how they're feeling now about all of this. Can't feel real good.
It's only been a couple of weeks. We can wait and see some more.
I love this story. We were talking about, you know, harder cultural stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, Trump has an idea to put in a national garden of American heroes, statues of suffragette Susan B. Anthony, Lakota resistance leader Sitting Bull, and Los Angeles Lakers Kobe Bryant could be erected in a new national park thanks to a monumental push from the White House. Trump revived his push to build a memorial sculpture garden with an executive order on January 29th. The National Garden of American Heroes would showcase 250 statues of American historic figures to celebrate this country's 250th anniversary, among them Babe Ruth, Harriet Tubman, and Edgar Allan Poe. And by the way, I wouldn't rule out having a Trump statue. You know, we've seen a few of those all over the place.
I thought you were at first, when you said National Garden, you were talking like a victory garden from World War II, something that would actually be productive for the country.
Right.
You know, but,
well, this wouldn't
but
be productive.
I guess we're going to just get some statues instead.
Statues.
Right. Yeah, statuettes. And is also promoting classical design and federal architecture. So any new federal buildings that are built out there will have these prominent columns, you know, holding up the constructive marble and stone that they put on. That's what he has in mind for new federal buildings out there, right?
Can't wait.
You know, a lot of the buildings changed from this classical design because of air conditioning. So they had to expand the buildings. So forget the air conditioning. Let's put in big columns and marble.
Okay, good enough.
All right.
Hey, that's going to do it for us. Tomorrow on the show, Sarah Skirut from Frozen Assets Fest. She's going to tell us all about that and what that is.
Okay, find out more.
All right. And let's see, Stephanie Miller's coming up next. Have a great day. We'll talk to you first thing in the morning.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.